everybody, welcome to the Chica Travel Podcast. My name is Lelo B, and as promised, today I am back with an episode with Farah Fortune, and we are discussing Bali. I have had a conversation previously on the podcast about Bali, and it was with Lerato, but Lerato was talking about Bali from a perspective of somebody that had lived there. And much of what she said is very similar to what Farah will be saying today. I'm just loving that Farah is also, you know, sharing from our perspective as travelers, people that are visiting Bali. You are absolutely going to love this episode. And if you are planning to travel to Bali soon, please make sure you have your notes app ready, because as always, Farah gives us so much more than what we expect. All the tips, everything that you need to know if you are planning to visit Bali. I literally want to go. I think, guys, let's go to Bali in 2025, because I can't go this year. I really, really want to go. She sold it. I've been to Bali, guys. I keep saying that I've been to Bali, but I didn't have the most beautiful experience back then because I didn't explore a lot. And now I feel like I'm old enough, or should I say wise enough, to go out there and have a beautiful trip. So I definitely do want to go back to visit Bali again. So please enjoy this episode with Farah. And if I may ask at the end of the episode, if you love it, please rate it. Just click on the stars, whether it's 3 or 4 or 5 stars, leave a rating on the app, whether you're using Spotify or whether you're using Apple Podcasts. I would truly appreciate if you can leave a rating on the app and just let me know that you have enjoyed it. But here is Farah Fortune. Enjoy. Farah Fortune, welcome back to the Chica Travel Podcast. We've missed you.
Thank you. The last time I was here, I just came back from Vietnam. You're making me relive my holidays, do you?
Let's go to your December. You were going to a wedding in Bali, and then you decided, if I'm going to a wedding in Bali, I might as well do Thailand as well. What was the plan? How long were you planning to stay there? And maybe take us through your planning for that trip.
So my holiday was about 3 weeks. So I went to Bali first. I'd never been to Bali, so that was also a new experience for me. And I just want to tell anyone who goes to Bali, like, be prepared. It is a long flight. It is a very long flight. Just be prepared for that. I wasn't prepared. I know I've seen the times and everything, but I don't think I mentally prepared myself for how long it was actually going to be. But I mean, firstly, also, when you get to Bali, December is their, if you go in December, it's their low season and also their cooler season. Mm. However, it was so hot. Their cool season was like 34 degrees every day. So I can't even imagine what July must be like in their summer season and peak season, what the heat must be like, because it's a different kind of heat, see? It's like that Durban heat, but like times 20. I can't describe it. It was insanely hot. So I was not expecting that when I arrived, but I did stay. We went to Ayana Resort where the wedding was. Yeah. And Ayana has like 4 or 5 different hotels on it, and they all come at different price ranges. We stayed at Rimba Hotel, which was one of the nicer ones. I think we were there for approximately 4 nights and spent, I think we paid 12,000 rand for the room.
12,000 for 4 nights?
For 4 nights, yeah.
Mm. Where in Bali is Ayana Resorts?
I need to check properly to give you the area. Mm. I'll check it and come back to you on that, and then so you can put it in your caption at least.
Yeah.
But it was a 5-star hotel. The service was amazing. The resort was phenomenal. Like, literally, there was no reason to leave that resort whatsoever. Yeah. If you were just going and you wanted to relax, like, that was the place. This place has like 6 or 7, maybe even 8 different pools. It has so many different restaurants in the resort. The breakfast, I did a video on it the other day. You could literally fit a 6 or 8 bedroom house in just where they have the breakfast at the Rumba Hotel. And that's how big the variety of food was. The most prestigious hotel, I say that with inverted commas, the most prestigious, but it wasn't actually that bad. For 4 nights to stay there, I think was something like 18,000. But it's beautiful. It's, you know, they really prestigious hotels. But, you know, the nice thing about staying at this resort is you don't have to have breakfast at your hotel. You can go and have it at any one of the hotels on the resort. You can swim anywhere. They have different pools. They have a beach there. I think it's called Kubu Beach. And you go and you literally take a lift down to go to this beach from the cliff. Like you stand on the cliff and you take a lift down to the beach. Okay. It's stunning. It's like, I can't tell you. I knew this place was big when we checked in, when the lady gave us the map and she had to unfold it 3 times to open the map properly. Then I knew this place was massive, but it was stunning. Stunning, 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 beautiful and stunning. We stayed there 4 days. That was where the wedding was. We ended up going to a place called Kana Bali Beach Club, which was where the welcome party was for the wedding. And that was also stunningly beautiful, really beautiful. One thing I will say about Bali is their customer service and is just so helpful. They really, it doesn't matter where you go, they can't do enough for you. Little bit of a language barrier, but I must say they make a lot more effort to speak to you in English than they probably do in Thailand.
Right.
But I think it's also because they don't get as many tourists. So when they do, they truly appreciate it. And with COVID, it really hit them quite hard. So I think they go out of their way in that respect. Sure. So went to, that was Kuta, I think that was in Kuta Beach.
Yeah.
But absolutely stunning. Really, really stunning. Enjoyed that. The wedding was the next day. So the wedding was actually in the resort. And then the day after the wedding, we went on a tour to Nusa Bedina Island. So I would honestly say to somebody, if you're going to go on these tours, they start really, really early in the morning. So just be prepared because Nusa Bedina is really, really far. So we had to meet our transport at 7:30 in the morning. It was maybe an hour and a half ride to the port. From the port, we got onto a boat, which was another almost 45 minutes to an hour to get to the island. From the island, we had to go to the base, which was like a restaurant, which is another 10-minute walk. From there, we had to drive another 45 minutes to get to, like, they call it, it's like, they say it's like, it looks like a dinosaur, but to me, it looked like a whale. You know, the really like famous landmark in Nusa Bedina, where the beach is, where you can walk all the way down, which is quite treacherous. I was not going to do that because apparently it takes like 3 hours to walk down and another 3 hours to walk up. And I didn't have that kind of energy. But I took lovely pictures there. And then after that, we went to another place, which was about a 45-minute drive again to a place called Angel's Billabong and Broken Beach. Beautiful, stunning tourist attraction. I highly recommend. And then from there, we had to drive back, which was like another 30 minutes. But they gave us like a villager's lunch, which was included in the tour. And then after that, we go scuba diving, which was lovely.
Is this all the day after the wedding? Were you not tired?
You know, I wasn't that bad because the thing is, like, we didn't stay like really, really late at the wedding.
Okay.
And you know, because it was like the wedding had been on since, I think, 4 o'clock already. And we did, and because I know we'd already booked it. So I was, you know, I was aware not to stay too late as well. But I was tired. It was tiring. That's why I say, like, it is a really tiring day because you only get back at like 6 o'clock from the tour.
Wow. Okay. But I guess it was tiring mostly for you because you also had the wedding. If you just like prepare to have a chill day before, then go on.
Yes.
Then it's even better.
Much, much better. I think that for me, it was just tiring because, you know, from the minute we landed, we had so much to do already. And we didn't just stay there. I mean, like I said, we only stayed there for 4 days. And then we went from the resort, we went to Ubud. We had booked a villa in Ubud. So, you know, there was a lot to do.
How was Ubud?
Ubud was amazing. It was so incredible, Lelo. Like, don't know how to describe it to you. I don't have the words to put it in a manner that can really describe the beauty of Ubud. It's just, we had this villa, like, I think everybody from the wedding party, well, a few people left after the wedding, but very few people, most people went to Ubud. So people were sharing villas and, you know, everybody booked villas together and in groups and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was with my daughter and we had booked this villa in Ubud. So again, I did a lot of research. So I looked at where everybody else was staying. And then there's like a center of Ubud, right? So Ubud has this really long road in the center of Ubud that's known as Restaurant Road. Mm-hmm. And it's basically just restaurants and places to go eat and just different experiences. It's also near the Monkey Forest, where you can go and take the famous monkey selfie. And there's a lot of other things around. There's also the market, the night market, so many different things near the center. So I wanted to be near the center because I wanted to do a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, that makes
sense. A lot of people stayed maybe 40 minutes, maybe 50 minutes away from the center. So the more you go away from the center, I'm not going to lie, it's a lot more green. It's beautiful. But I also felt like where we stayed was stunning because right behind us, our view was like this rice field, which was so incredible at sunset. I really don't have the words for it. It's something that you have to experience at least once in your life. So we had this really beautiful villa. It was really lovely. And you know, the villas, they range from anywhere between, you can get a villa from anywhere from 5,000 Rand to 45,000 Rand, depending on what you're looking for. Mm. So if you're looking for a villa in Ubud, one of your best places to go is either hotel.com or booking.com. But also if you're looking for suggestions, I found a lot of suggestions on TikTok and Instagram.
Good.
So that's where I found that's where I found a lot of my suggestions for villas. So I stayed at a villa called New Moon. It's got about 4 or 5 different properties on it, managed by a lady called Wyan. So great was communication. She was so helpful when we got there. We got welcome drinks. And a lot of the villas, you either have to hire a chef or you can just order food from around. So again, one thing I would definitely, when as soon as you land in Asia anywhere, they don't have Uber there, but they have something called Grab. So download the Grab app, which is basically just like Uber. You can get your transport from there. You can order food from there. It's literally Asian Uber. So I still have my Grab app from Vietnam. I used it there. Mm. And we just ordered, like she gave us menus and she said we can order food from here. But when we wanted other stuff, we just ordered from Grab because Bali is insanely cheap. Like insanely, like I always thought Thailand, but Bali's cheap on another level. Like it is ridiculously cheap. Vietnam is still like quite cheap, but Bali's like ridiculously cheap. So, you know, like again, we were at the villa. We went to a lot of places. It was so easy to get everywhere. I mean, a Uber from our villa to the center probably cost about, I don't know, maybe 20 Rand, 30 Rand to get to the center. And that was about a 10 minute drive. But in traffic would be 20 minutes. And even then, you're probably paying like 30 Rand for the Uber, for the Grab, should I say?
Yeah.
So I really, really, I really enjoyed Ubud so much because I think, you know, we were off the resort. We got to see a lot more. There you can go to the Bali Swing. You can go to a lot of the beach clubs that are very famous. There, one thing about Bali you have to know, though, It is ridiculously cheap, but if you drink, you are going to peg out of your ass. Alcohol is extremely expensive. Like, really expensive. So be prepared for that. If you drink, I'm fine. I just drink mocktails and, you know, like, I'm not a drinker, so I'm cool. But for people who were with us drinking, it was so expensive for them. So that's the only thing, like, I think I can honestly say that you'd actually spend money on is if you drink.
So, you know, I've been to Bali, but like, I was really stupid when it comes to travel at the time. So I never did go to Ubud. And my view of Ubud was that it's that place that you go to when you want peace and quiet. So I didn't know like beach clubs and restaurants and things. I just thought it was like one of those secluded, you know, places, etc. So you're giving me a different perspective of it.
I mean, if you buy your villa, it's very quiet because most of the villas are like away from the centers and they're pretty much in the jungles. So also, if you're very squirmish, don't go to Ubud. If you can't do lizards and spiders and things like that, don't go to Ubud because you're going to see those things. It's a jungle. It's normal. It's freaking hot. Those things are there. But I mean, they generally try and do, most villas will like have mosquito nets and things like that. And, you know, there's a lot of people get Bali belly when they're there. And I think the one way to truly avoid Bali belly, which is what I did, and I successfully did it. I was very grateful I didn't catch anything. When you're brushing your teeth, do it with bottled water. Like, literally at no point must water touch your lips. Like, when you're showering, keep your mouth closed. The water that comes out the taps, we can't drink it. Our tummies just won't handle it. So brush your teeth with bottled water. Drink only bottled water. Try and avoid drinks with ice in it if you can. The only time I ever had ice in my drinks was actually at Ayana Resort. Because it's such a five-star resort, it's filtered water ice. So they make an effort to make sure that, you know, you can have the ice there. But anywhere else, do not drink the ice. Get cold drinks, get closed drinks, you know, like, do whatever you can to avoid the ice. Because trust me, you don't want Bali belly. I was really lucky. My doctor gave me a lot of like tummy medicines and stuff before I left, just in case I got anything. But I was very lucky I didn't get anything. So I'm very grateful for that. But yeah, try and avoid that as much as you can.
And Farah, Bali belly, what is it for those who don't know? And is it common for people traveling to Bali, like who are maybe not as careful as you are?
Bali belly is very common for foreigners in Bali. It's basically, you know, if you're drinking the water, it's not the same water we get here. So, you know, it's like anywhere you go that you're not so sure about the water, you just got to be careful. And Bali belly is basically, it can upset your stomach to the point where you either have severe diarrhea, severe vomiting, and you can get seriously dehydrated. However, the Balinese are so clued up on it that you literally be like in the towns or whatever, and you see like doctor sign and it says treatment for Bali belly, treatment for this, you know, like they're so clued up on it. And it costs about maybe like R100, R200 for a doctor to come out and give you a drip and some medication and antibiotics if you do get Bali belly. So it's not like a train smash that you can't go to the doctors, and the doctors do come out to you there. They're very well versed on the Bali belly situation with the foreigners. So, you know, they take care of it. So don't worry too much, but try and be as careful as you can. If you feel like you ate or drank something that you weren't supposed to, my best suggestion would be take charcoal tablets on holiday with you and have them as soon as you feel like you've done, like you've eaten or drank something that wasn't good for you. And that should be able to help you try and avoid Bali belly as much as you can.
But if there is one thing you believe in, it's charcoal tablets.
Girl,
charcoal tablets will get rid of your hangover. It will get stuff out of your tummy.
Trust me, charcoal tablets are the one. There's one thing I travel with is charcoal tablets.
for anything, charcoal tablets. I think I must jump on that train, you know, on that charcoal tablet.
Trust me. Just for all the ladies out there that are listening, if you ever go on a night out and someone spikes your drink, immediately take 2 charcoal tablets and you'll be fine within about 10 or 15 minutes. Charcoal tablets are there to soak up the toxins of whatever was put in your drink so that you don't actually get drugged. So I always send my daughter out with charcoal tablets. It's like part of her little bag whenever she leaves the house. So I very much believe in charcoal tablets. They do the things, girl. They do the things.
I love it. Okay. How long then overall did you stay in Bali, you know, including Ubud, your time in Ubud? And was Ubud your last stop before you went to Thailand?
Yes, Ubud was the last stop before we went to Thailand, but we stayed in Bali for 8 days. I would recommend, honestly, I'd probably say if you could, probably stay 10 days altogether in Bali and try to have equal time in maybe Seminyak or Kuta or wherever you're staying and have equal time in Ubud as well. Because in both places, there's so much to do. Honestly, there's really so much to do. It's so easy to get around. You can take a grab anywhere, or you can book transport and book yourself a driver, which is so cheap as well. It's really not expensive at all. So getting around is really not the issue. It's just making sure that you find the right things to do. So like I said, I researched a lot, and the one place that, you know, because I love going to try different restaurants, and the one place that I absolutely wanted to go, like my daughter and I had seen it maybe 3 months before we actually left for Ubud, is a restaurant called Merlin's Magic. Lelo, if you ever go back and you go to Ubud, please promise me you're going to go to this restaurant called Merlin's Magic. It is such an incredible experience. So it's about 500 rand a person if you choose this option. It's called the Oracle Experience. So what you do is they come up to you with these cards, and you pick a card for your past, present, and future. They read your cards to you, and each card is a different dish as well. So there's a code on it that tells you. So you don't, basically the food chooses you. You don't choose the food. You don't look at a menu. You pick the cards, and that determines what you eat. Such an incredible experience. The food was phenomenal. The food was amazing. I had chicken, and it was just like, I can't tell you how soft that chicken was in my mouth. Like, it was so good. I promise you, I could seriously just go back to Ubud just to go to that place again. It was such an amazing experience. And I've never done anything like that, or never experienced a food experience like that. So that was really cool to have. If you're looking, look on Instagram, it's Merlin's Magic. Look on TikTok, it's Merlin's Magic Bali. Mm. Just to see what you actually get there and the experience. But incredible. Absolutely incredible. I absolutely loved Bali so much. I think it's a place I would go back to again. I mean, the people are so polite. They're so friendly. There's so much to do. And you really can't fault it in any way, as long as you do your research about where you're going and what you want to do.
Look, it sounds incredible. And, you know, the fact that you are talking about how cheap it is has sold it for me. So for a lot of people who are listening as well. I also want to ask, I mean, I have definitely said that I do want to go back to Bali and experience it properly. And I think I'm just going to use some of the tips that you are sharing to plan my return to Bali. So just, you were talking about Merlin's Magic. Was there, mm-hmm. like, there isn't a whole thing with, you know, struggling to get a booking? And I also want to ask you to talk a bit about, you know, the popular stuff that people do in Bali, like the swing and that tray breakfast thing in the pool with yes. standard, etc. So maybe just start with Merlin's Magic.
Okay, with Merlin's Magic, we didn't struggle to get a booking. Again, we were told consistently by everybody that December is low season for traveling in Bali. So getting bookings and doing things really wasn't an issue. If you're going to go from May to August, that's when it's really, really busy in Bali. And It's extremely hot. Like, it's so much hotter than it is during December. And like I said, it's already 34 degrees in December. So I can only imagine what it was like, what it's like in July. Bali, the Balinese people run all their businesses off WhatsApp. So as long as you have WhatsApp there, I mean, a SIM card is so cheap. Like, you can get it as you get off the plane. You can get it from any one of the vendors that are at the airport. They register it for you. You just pay for it. They set it up. And by the time you walk out the airport, you're online. For us, like, booking anything anywhere, you just have to literally Google and get the WhatsApp number and you can book anything. So we booked Merlin's on WhatsApp. And it was so convenient, and they get back to you right away. And that's how most places are when you book them. The popular places like Fethiya Ubud, which is a beach club, you do have to book there. During high season, it can be hard to get a booking. Low season, not so much. But it can be a bit pricey depending on what you want. So for instance, a bed there by the pool, you probably pay about 2,000 Rand. But that would come with, so how it works is you pay 2,000 Rand, but the 2,000 Rand will cover, say, four people, right? For that one bed, that one beach bed, right? And then you basically order food and drinks up to the value of 2,000 Rand. So that it basically gets credited back for you to order food and drinks. And like I said, if you're not ordering alcohol, like, it took us so long to finish that money. We ended up ordering drinks for other people. We ended up ordering food for other people. Like, there was so much. I mean, we must have had like 6-7 meals out of that 2,000 Rand plus drinks. So many drinks. So, like I said, it's really, really cheap. The food is extremely cheap. So that's how most of the beach clubs run in Bali. You put down a certain amount and then you have to use that amount. And they don't credit it back to you. So you have to drink or you have to eat that amount out before you leave.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty much the with those beach clubs over there.
Yeah.
Farah, so when you went to Phuket, was your daughter with you or did she come back?
So my daughter came back to South Africa after we left Bali. So she came back here and then I went on to Thailand. Like I said, I went with, when I left Ubud, left with Air Asia. And I think that flight was something like just under 5,000 Rand for a flight from Ubud. It stopped over in Malaysia for an hour and a half and then from Malaysia to Phuket. And that was just under 5,000 Rand for a flight.
So wait, there's an airport in Ubud?
No, there's a main airport. So you have to leave. So like you have to leave Ubud and it's from Ubud. The airport is about, with traffic, the airport is about an hour and a half, 2 hours maybe. So if you're going to leave, if you're leaving to back to your destination from Ubud, my suggestion is to leave like a good 2-2.5 hours before your travel. Long before your travel or check-in time, should I say. Mm-hmm. So if your check-in time is at, so my check-in time was, my flight was at 12:30.
Yeah.
I left the villa at 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's, and then still made my flight on time. And like I said, I went with Air Asia. Now, the one thing with Air Asia, it's a very low-cost airline, so your luggage is not included in there,
mm-hmm.
and neither is any food. So what you do is they sell packages, which works out far cheaper than buying all these things separately. So my suggestion is once you book your flight, they show you packages, and the package just changed all the time. So you can come out of the app and go in, and that package for the 20 kg bag and a meal on the flight could be cheaper than you were when it was there 20 minutes ago. So it really just depends, again, when you book the flight. But the additions onto the Air Asia flight for a 20 kg bag and a meal on the leg from Bali to Malaysia And then Malaysia to Phuket was, I think, if I remember correctly, something like 200 or 300 rand for the bag and the food. And yeah, so it, like I said, it's a low cost airline. You do pay additionally for everything, but they sell packages if you're traveling with luggage. So you can pick the 20 kg luggage, the 30 kg luggage, or the 50 kg luggage, just depending on
you carry
how much luggage you have. And also, if you're flying, if you need to upgrade your luggage package, do it 2 days before you actually fly, because you can't do it on the day that you're flying.
Well, I thought you were going to say it's more expensive when you do it then. So you literally can't do it on the day of your flight.
You can do it on the day. It's just a lot more expensive. Yeah. But you can't do it on the app. So most things in Thailand and with Bali, I discovered that, you know, everything's just done on the app. I mean, even the hotel I stayed at in Thailand, I've stayed at that hotel before. And usually they have like in-room book where they tell you like room service and whatever. I see most hotels in Asia now, when you check in, they tell you to download the app. So most hotels are going paperless in Asia now. So now you have to use an app to you know, see what's on there. The hotel, Ayana Resort, they also had an app that you could use. I stayed at Kalima Resort and Spa in Thailand, and they had an app as well that you download for in-room dining, to book any activities in the hotel, for the spa. It didn't matter what it was. You had to do everything on the app.
Very, very interesting. Okay, before we go there, let's wrap up a bit on Bali.
Okay.
I want to know about the swing.
Okay, so the swing, go to Bali Swing Heaven. Now, my advice for the swing is they open at 10 o'clock. Be there at 9:30. Because if you go late, oh my God, you're going to stand in queues. I was so lucky. Got there at 10:05, and there was already probably, I think, 6 people in front of me. But the longer I was there, like literally I was there an hour, got my pics, and then I was out. Like, you should have seen the amount of people that were there after me. And then some of the group of the people that were with us in our group that had come for the wedding, they had gone there the day before me, and they had gone later on in the afternoon, and they waited 4 hours to be able to take their pics. Yeah. So my advice is go early as possible. Like, if they open at 10, be there at 9:30. Especially if you're going during the busy season, like I said, between July and August, just try and wherever you go is going to be packed during that time. So try and go out of those months. And if you do go in December, you have a better chance of doing so much more, because everybody kept saying to us, the tour guides, the people that worked at these places, they all just kept saying, like, December is their low season, so it's so much easier to do things. But even in their low season with the swing, they were still quite busy. So the swing, you can pick different packages of, you know, of the pictures that you want. You can pick just one swing and pay for that, or you can pick like all of them and have pictures at all of them. They don't allow you to take a drone, and you can take your own pictures on your phone. However, they don't really come out the same. But so they have professional. Yeah. So they have like a professional photographer at each swing, at each station, basically. And the nice thing is also the guys that are helping there, they're like, take your phone, and they do videos of you swinging. And, you know, they give you like extra. Yeah, even if you just pay for the package. So the photo package, I think, was something like 250 rand or something to get professional pictures of each swing that you're on.
I didn't even know there are different swings. I think there's just one swing.
No, it's different swings. There's like 9 or 11 of them. I can't even remember. There's so many of them that you can have pictures. Lelo, the amount of content I have from just Bali, I promise you, I can post till March. That's how much content I have. Like, I haven't even put up half of the swings that I took pictures at. But yeah, definitely would suggest. I mean, who goes to Bali and doesn't do the Bali swing? I mean, exactly. You need that iconic picture. So they don't allow you. to take your own dress, though. So you have to pick one of the dresses that are there.
Do you pay extra for the dress, right? Or is it part of the package?
It's part of the package that you get. Uh-huh. So just depending on the package that you get, or you'd have to pay extra for it. But, I mean, listen, it's really not a lot. Mm. It really isn't a lot. For the packages and the dress and the photographer and like, it really isn't a lot. Like, the experience and the beautiful pictures that they give to you. So once you're done swinging and everything, you go upstairs.
Yeah.
There's like six different people sitting at desks, and you get a number and you tell them your number. So basically, when you go to the swing, you say, my number's 20. And then they'll write number 20 on there. And then when you go upstairs, you say, my number's 20. And then all your pictures come up. Mm-hmm. Then they take your phone and they put it on the phone for you, or they put it on a laptop, wherever you want it, they put it on there for you. It's so convenient. It's such a nice experience. I was in and out of there in an hour. Wow. Like, that's how long it took me, because I went really early. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went early. There was no queues. And so I was very lucky in that sense. Like, I didn't have to wait for a lot of things.
Did your daughter also go and do the swing photos?
No, that's all their child wanted to do was shop. And I don't blame her, because everything was so freaking cheap. Like, everything was so cheap. Like, going shopping there was ridiculously cheap. So that's what she did. She bought herself like half a new wardrobe with my money, but still bought herself half a new wardrobe there, because everything was cheap. There's even these things called, I suggest you guys look at it on, I haven't seen it on Twitter and I haven't seen it on Facebook, but I have seen it on TikTok and Instagram. Mm-hmm. They're called head spas. I didn't get the chance to do it. How she got the chance to do it. Like, Lelo, I'm not lying to you. We were there probably 2 days. This child figured out Grab, took a Grab, went to go find this head spa, did her hair, went to the mall shopping all by herself.
Wow.
Something that she just can't do here, but she did it all by herself. This place is called head spas. I'm just going to tell you guys to go look at what a head spa is in Bali or Thailand. Oh my God. I need to make sure the next time I'm in Asia, I do one of these spa things. It's just all about your hair and your head and massages. And they have these fountains that like go back and forth over you. Oh my God, you need to see these things. So she had a head spa. She did that. The only tour she came with me was the Nusa Penida one.
Okay.
The other one, she wasn't interested. She was interested in the markets. Mm. She was interested in, because my friend who got married, she is the same age as her kids, and they all grew up together. They've known each other since they were like 3 years old. So they're like 18, 19 now. So they were chilling by themselves. And they went out partying. I don't know how she did it, but she found nightclubs. She got them on guest lists. They went to go party and had the best time of their lives. So she wasn't about me at all in Bali. Trust me. I was not the focal point. Yeah, she was on her own holiday.
Wow.
You asked me earlier about the floating breakfast and I didn't say anything. The floating breakfast you can pretty much get anywhere. We were at the villa that we stayed. The one thing that was included was breakfast, and they came in every morning because there was a kitchen, a beautiful kitchen in our villa, and they made breakfast for us every morning. And the first morning I was there, I was like, oh my God, can I please have a floating breakfast? Thinking, you know, I don't really know how you're going to make this possible, but can you make it? And they brought out a floating breakfast. I put my bikini on, got into the pool, and I had my floating breakfast because, I mean, it's Bali. You have to have a floating breakfast.
Wow. This is so, so cool. If you're thinking about your Bali experience, what would you say over the 8 days that you spent there? I know there's a lot of stuff that you really enjoyed, but what would you say were the top three things that you will definitely do when you go back to Bali again?
I loved the monkey forest. It was such a cool experience. And you know, the monkeys was so friendly, but so naughty. But it was, the monkey selfie thing was just so cool watching how they actually did that. Merlin's Magic, I would definitely, definitely go back there. I'd like to try more of the beach clubs. I definitely would try more of them. And there's a lot more markets in Ubud that I didn't get to experience. And I would like to experience them, like the night market I didn't get to experience in Ubud. I'd like to, in more of the center, I'd like to see more of Seminyak. I am Kuta apparently isn't that amazing and isn't that great and hasn't been for a very long time. But yeah, those are definitely things I would do.
Okay. So maybe a bit of a difficult question because your trip was not just about Bali, but if you're thinking, okay, your daughter, you only had to do like a return trip from, Joburg to there. And let's say somebody was to do like 7 to 8 days in Bali, plus minus, and I'm thinking around maybe staying like around like a 4-star type hotel. Plus minus, what's the minimum that you think I should have to be able to have a good experience for 7 to 8 days? And I know it's a bit of a difficult question because it all depends on the individual, how much you do, etc. If you're to advise someone, what is the minimum that you must have to have a good 7 days?
So are you talking about without flights and hotels? Are you talking about just spending money?
Yeah, flights and hotels, it all depends on what you choose, right? I would say so. That's a bit different. Also, you guys went to different places, so maybe just think about spending money.
Okay,
Those.
if you're not a drinker, I would honestly say you could really, including shopping and doing stuff and grabs and going for massages every day because the massages are so cheap. You can go for like a full body massage for 200 rand, maybe even 150, depending on where you go, for like 90 minutes. I'd honestly say if you're looking at food, shopping, like markets, grabs, takeaways, you wouldn't be spending more than 10,000 rand.
Wow, that's a bargain.
No, it really is. You wouldn't spend more than 10,000 rand. If you are looking to go all out and have a luxurious experience, probably up that to about 15 to 17,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, not so bad. What airline did you fly to go there from here?
I went with Qatar. I
Qatar.
went with Qatar.
All right.
Yeah.
I think that's very helpful. Farah, I'm sitting, I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking which month in this year of 2024 can I go? Can
If
I
you're gonna
go to
go,
Bali?
honestly, like go November. If you can't go in December, go November. Trust me.
I'm thinking about it, but in November, I want to go back to Thailand, so maybe.
Girl, I might go to Thailand with you because that place, I do not go. When I went to Thailand, it was my fourth time in Thailand. You know that? That was my fourth time there.
Okay. So anything else that you want to say about Bali? Or is that it about Bali?
It's a beautiful place. You will truly enjoy it. It was my first time there, so I tried to do as much as I possibly could. If you're going as a solo female traveler, it's pretty safe. There's not too many warnings from people in terms of anything. So, be rest assured you can walk around. It's pretty safe. But again, don't think just because I'm saying it's pretty safe, like lose your senses and don't be aware of your surroundings. You still have to do that. So, yeah. And there have been some cases of some solo female travelers who have had their drinks spiked here and there, depending on where you go. So, again, just be vigilant of where you're off to.
Okay, awesome. That's really, really good. Thank you for the bonus Bali. Conversation, but I mean, I guess because it was such an incredible experience, and also being your first time there, you had to just talk about it because you really found it so amazing. But thank you so much, Papa, for your time. It means a lot.
No problem. Cool.